The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I've begotten you. And he also says in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. In being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson just read, Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45. The sermon title is Inheriting the Kingdom of Heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, although our gospel lesson this morning does not use the word inheritance, that is the primary theme and the issue at stake. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus if they could sit at his right and left hand when he ruled his future kingdom. Matthew reports in Matthew 20:20-21, that their mother made this request of Jesus. Probably all three were involved, James and John and their mother. When the other apostles heard about this, they were enraged. I can imagine Peter shouting out, "What is this? I thought we're all in this together. I thought we were all going to get our fair share. What are you guys trying to do? Cut us out and take our shares for yourself?" What does sitting at Jesus' left and right hand have to do with inheritance? In the cultures of those days, kings ruled with their vice regents seated at their side. They're like vice presidents. Normally, the vice regent would be the crown prince, who was the legal heir to the throne. The prince was at the king's side in the throne room in order to hear discussions and agreements that were made. If the king fell ill or died, the prince would then have to take over the business of governing. The prince's position in the throne room thus served the practical concern of a continuity of business and the symbolic concern of indicating to everybody who was next in line to rule. Not too many days previous, the apostles had heard Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." The disciples all thought this meant that Jesus was the prince anointed to restore the throne of David. They thought this meant that Jesus would soon cast out the Romans and the Herods from Israel and restore the dynasty of David. They thought that Jesus would soon put on his royal robes, be seated in Herod's palace with his apostolic viziers, and all the nations would come to him, just as the Old Testament seemed to promise. The apostles all knew that Jesus was not married. He was not betrothed, and he was not interested in marrying. Therefore, he was not going to have an heir before he died. This meant that the business of who was next in line was urgent, and it better be determined before Jesus rose to power. By asking to be seated at Jesus' left and right hand, James and John were elevating themselves above the other apostles. They wanted to inherit the kingdom of David after Jesus was deceased. The importance of the inheritance of political authority, also known as succession or succession, is exhibited in the case of the Islamic religion historically. When Muhammad died, no exact provision had been made for any successor to lead the new community. And there were two ideas about leadership in Arabia at the time. One thought a person of high quality should become the leader. The other thought that leadership was hereditary or dynastic. Those who agreed with the idea of high quality chose Abu Bakr as their khalifa, which means leader, from which we get the word caliph. Those who agreed with the hereditary idea followed Muhammad's closest blood relative, his son-in-law, Ali. This became an irresolvable split in Islam, and it still divides them today. Those who followed Abu Bakr became known as the Sunni Muslims, while those who followed Ali are known as the Shia Muslims, and they don't get along. Jesus' response to James and John in verse 38 was, "You guys have no idea what you're talking about." It is true that Jesus was like Muhammad in starting a new religion. But unlike Muhammad, Jesus had absolutely no intention of starting a political regime. Jesus confessed the truth before the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate, where all the world could hear, and we still hear it today, when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18, verse 36. This meant there would be no running out the Romans or the Herods from Israel. Jesus would not be taking up residence in Herod's palace. There would be no special seats for the apostolic viziers in the throne room. But this does not mean that Jesus was not going to receive a kingdom. He was going to inherit the most comprehensive kingdom of all, that is, rule over the entire human race, both the living and the dead. Any kingdom has certain rituals which its king must follow when he is inaugurated. For the kings or queens of England, these ceremonies last the greater part of a day. I think you could have watched some of that when Charles III was elevated to the throne. One of these is drinking from the royal cup. Most temples have certain rituals which their priests must follow when they are inducted into office. One of these for the Jewish priests was ritual bathing. Thus, when in our gospel Jesus talked about the cup that I drink and the baptism with which I am baptized, he was talking about the rituals of being inducted into the priestly royal kingdom. Now, do you know when Jesus drank his cup and was baptized? What did Jesus pray to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed, "Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." This tells us that the ritual induction into the lordship of Jesus' kingdom was his suffering, torture, and death. What a ritual. So Jesus, in our text, asked James and John, "Are you able to drink this cup and be baptized in this way?" Verse 38. Not knowing what they were saying, James and John said, "We are able." And then Jesus replied, "You will drink this cup, and you will be baptized in this way." And this was a prediction of the sufferings, torture, and death of all the apostles. All 12 of them suffered this. James was the first to go, as Acts 12, verse 2 tells us, when he was executed by Herod. John was the last one to go. Although John died a natural death in his 90s, he was boiled alive during the persecution of Domitian, and he survived, and then was exiled for years after that on the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book we know as the Revelation. Jesus put an end to the Zebedee brothers' requests when he told James and John, "To sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Verse 40. In his vision, recorded in the book of Revelation, John saw, quote, a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 and 4. Now, this vision is more like the Knights of the Round Table than a king seated with his successor, the crown prince. Each of those 24 elders is the other's equal in honor, dignity, and authority. And probably it includes the 12 apostles. Our Lutheran confessions take up this matter when they talk about the authority of the Pope over against the bishops, the other bishops of the church. You see, the Pope is just the Bishop of Rome. That's what Lutherans believe anyway. And here is what Lutherans believe on this in the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, which states, I quote, in Luke 22, 24 to 27, Christ expressly forbids lordship among the apostles. For this was the very question the disciples were disputing. Who is to be the leader, and as it were, the vicar of Christ? Christ reproved the apostles for this error and taught that no one should have lordship or superiority among them, but that the apostles should be sent forth as equals and exercise the ministry of the gospel in common. Again, the treatise, section 7-8. It is on the basis of this gospel lesson that we've heard today, therefore, that the Lutheran Church does not recognize the authority that is the superior authority of the Bishop of Rome, also known as the Pope. We accept that he is the Bishop of Rome, but not as the superior bishop over all pastors and congregations in the world. Following Jesus' commands in our text, Lutherans have what is called a collegial view, not an episcopal or monarchical view of the ministry and church leadership. Lutherans take Jesus' words literally in verses 42 to 44. Our pastors in the Lutheran Church are not rulers. They do not exercise authority over temporal things, but they are what we call ministers, that is, servants of all who will accept the word, the office of the keys, the sacraments, and the gospel. May you, in the same way, desire to serve one another, as Christ has served you, until he returns to claim his kingdom of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.